Welcome back to the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, everyone. Hope you are doing well. We are excited to break down the continuing assemblance of Matt Nagy's coaching staff, all the coordinators in place. By we, of course, I mean my co-host, Tub Arkish, and myself, Arthur Arkish. Check us out on iTunes. Make sure you're subscribed to the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Leave us a rating and a review while you're there. That would be wonderful. Hub, what's the good word on this fine Friday, the Friday before championship, conference championship weekend?
Well, I suppose from the Bears' perspective, it's the fact that they introduced their new group of coordinators, or their current coordinators, two new ones and one returnee, earlier this week. It seemed to be well received by the local media, and through the local media, of course, Bears fan base. I think particularly interesting is Mark Helfrich, who is making his NFL debut with the Bears, although did work with NFL coaches Chip Kelly and Dirk Cutter in college. He seemed to be impressive. He certainly convinced everybody that this is where he wants to be and that he's excited about Mitch Trubisky. He knows what to do with him. And as usual, a little bit overshadowed by Vic Fangio, who started out by greeting the media and said, okay, let's continue this love fest, which I think was fairly well received. And it was interesting, hearing Fangio talk. He said there are a number of reasons he's back, a lot of them defensive, but one of the significant incentives for him is the presence of Mitch Trubisky. And so there seems to be a fair amount of buy-in at this point on the Bears' young quarterback.
Yeah, that was pretty neat for sure. And full disclosure, Hub and I were not at Halas Hall Thursday. We were out on assignment taping various shows, but we've spoken with both spies and colleagues that were in the room, if you will, so we feel like we can still weigh in on it with a fair amount of context. And Hub, I do agree that Fangio mentioning, and I believe it was unsolicited, mentioning Mitch Trubisky and saying he thinks that he has a chance to be a pretty special quarterback, and speaking about his intangibles and kind of echoing some of the sentiments that we heard from Mark Helfrich was pretty neat for sure. And Fangio said it's good to be, or let's continue this love fest, because he went after, I believe, both of the other coordinators, and there was a lot of positive vibes. Of course, they're first introduced by Matt Nagy. So, look, you can't really win or lose technically. They're not keeping track on the scoreboard here in January, so this is all fine and good. But let's stick with the Trubisky thing for a minute. Helfrich drew some parallels between Marcus Mariota, of course, the former Heisman winner who he had so much success with at Oregon, and talked about Trubisky's accuracy and his decision making. And we saw some of that on tape and in person as a rookie. But exciting characteristics, Helfrich said, or exciting traits, he said, that he's looking forward to kind of building on.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Everybody's been trying to follow up on the Mariota thing, and I think that's mainly because Helfrich went to an NCAA title game with Mariota as his quarterback. But having done the national radio broadcast of Marcus Mariota's last two games of the season from the sidelines, getting a pretty good look at him, I don't really see any similarities at all between him and Mitch Trubisky. I think the better comp, interestingly enough, with Trubisky is Alex Smith, stylistically, the way they play the game. He is Alex Smith with a bigger, stronger arm. And the fact that Matt Nagy is the guy who has brought the best out of Alex Smith the last few years and now has the assistance of Mark Helfrich, who did develop Marcus Mariota at Oregon, is a lot of what folks are really excited about. But I think figuring out who Trubisky is, it's funny. You get these young quarterbacks and you get excited about them, and you look at a guy like Cam Newton, who already has an NFL MVP award, and yet at the end of the season, some people in Carolina are still wondering if he could be the quarterback and be a franchise quarterback. So regardless of what the skill set looks like, they eventually have to do it on the field, and it does appear like the Bears have now brought in the right supporting cast to give him every chance to develop into the kind of player that they hope he's going to be. That clearly was not going to happen with the last coaching staff, and that's why all these changes were made.
Yeah, and interestingly, Cam Newton, very different stylistically, of course, but I get your point about sort of you get the guy you think is the franchise, and you got to build around him, and you got to make sure he makes progress linearly. That's not even a word. Linear progress, if he's able to and isn't taking steps back. Cam Newton actually is going to have a different kind of support structure for the first time in his career. Of course, has worked with Mike Shula since he entered the league. Now he has the whole Turner family on board in Charlotte to join our friend Chico and see if he can kind of get the next, you know, the next stage of development, I think, mainly as a passer out of Cam Newton. So, you know, Bears fans, Hub, are hoping that this is a relationship with, you know, Matt Nagy. And we'll see about Mark Helfrich. I think part of the intrigue for Helfrich in this deal, and I don't know if he was asked this specifically yesterday. I'll have to go back and look at some of the transcripts. But if he has designs on potentially becoming an NFL head coach himself one day. But the reason I bring it up is, of course, you hope that from a scheme standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, all the way down to a personnel standpoint, that this is the beginning of a long and successful marriage, in part because there's continuity and these guys are going to have time to settle in, familiarize with each other, and no one's going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff there. The only reason I brought up Newton, there's no comparisons between Cam Newton and,
right,
and Trubisky, just the point that, you know, here's a guy who was the number one overall pick, who everybody thought was going to be a franchise quarterback, perennial Super Bowl contender, won an MVP, got to a Super Bowl in 15, and has been moonwalking ever since. You look at Marcus Mariota, and here's a kid who, after his rookie year, I was really excited about him. He took a slight step backwards in his second year and a much bigger step backwards in his third year. And maybe that was because he was away from Helfrich for those 2-3 years. I don't know. So the only point there is that what the Bears have in Trubisky is exciting. Are they all set at quarterback and time to move on? No, they've still got a ton of work to do at quarterback, and it does appear like that has been Ryan Pace's focus, is getting the right people to get Trubisky where they hope he can go. And in that respect, you know, it appears that they've done a good job. I can tell you, and I haven't met the man in person or spoken to him in person yet, but there's no question that Mark Helfrich has designs on an NFL head coaching job. There'd be no other reason to leave college and come to the NFL at this stage of his career. Even though he was fired at Oregon, that was one bad season after three really good ones with Mariota. Certainly would have been a candidate for another head coaching job in college football had he not made this move. So, you know, I think similar to Nagy in age, probably a few years older, these guys are looking at their career paths, and I'm sure that is part of the reason that Mark Helfrich is here.
You know, it was exciting to hear sort of the, and again, there was a lot of gushing going around at Halas Hall. That's part of the deal. But everyone kind of raving about the work ethic of Mitch Trubisky. Helfrich said that he had caught wind of it through some of the Bears offensive linemen, who said that they that he worked as hard as anyone in the room. And of course, you always want your franchise guy, your quarterback, to be sort of setting the tone and setting that example for everyone else. But, you know, that's got to be encouraging sort of early vetting to be getting back on their big pet pupil. And it sort of builds on what Fangio was saying, talking about some of the leadership qualities. You know, he talked about his pure arm talent, blah, 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 athleticism, all these good things. But, you know, it's the intangibles that, you know, by definition, obviously are harder to gauge and also are critical to the quarterback spot. So I thought that was pretty cool. Hub, Fangio's just, his humor, his candor is so refreshing. Maybe that's part of the reason why I don't want to say there was you know, a campaign by the media to bring him back. It wasn't anything like that. I think it was just kind of a universal respect. But it helps when he can tell it like it is and can keep things light. Came in right away after talking about the love fest. He actually ended his session by saying the two things he asked the Bears for that he didn't get were a lifetime membership at Conway Farms Golf Club and the ability to kind of change the weather. But in between there, lots of good, honest stuff from Fangio. And I liked what he said about the defense, because, you know, Nagy had said, you know, Fangio's numbers speak for themselves, top 10 defense every year. Vic came immediately up to the podium and he said, well, no, I didn't have a top 10 defense every year. He did last year, but I don't know. I love hearing that, and I loved hearing Vic say that some of his so-called really good players still need to take the next step. And he started with Pro Bowl alternate, who we thought should have been Pro Bowl starter, Akeem Hicks, going on then to list the Leonard Floyds and the Nick Kwiatkowskis, and actually I think he said Danny Trevathan and Eddie Jackson's of the world. So the continuation of kind of that sort of, you know, tough love, that honest approach that, of course, the media loves, but I have to think it really resonates with his players too. You know, Kyle Fuller last season is a great example of that.
Yeah, there's no question. And you know, you are absolutely right to point out I was actually really pissed at the Bears because the one day I couldn't be at Dallas Hall's Thursday we do all our taping.
Right.
But I had actually moved on to the NBC Sports Studio for the Pro Football Weekly show where I was able to watch the whole thing on television. They had the closed circuit feed there. And to be honest with you, it wasn't clear to me when Vic came to the podium and said, let's continue this love fest, whether he was talking about with what went on with the other two guys.
Okay.
Or about the fact that he had been so in demand and that everybody in Chicago, particularly the media, was writing about the importance of having him. It could have been both. You just don't know. Just for clarity, he didn't say lifetime membership to Conway Farms. He just said membership. They wouldn't even get him a 1 year.
Okay. But hey, Hub, what he did say, just to kind of piggyback off that, not to cut you off, but he did also say that the decision to come back to the Bears, and he was largely joking. He knew he probably wasn't getting that, but he did say that it was a gut feel thing, Hub, and that it wasn't necessarily about the next 12 months, but he hoped the next 6, 7, or 8 years, which was kind of a cool thing to hear, I thought.
It definitely was. And again, a lot of this is just kind of fun to talk about,
right.
Hopefully fun for our listeners to hear. It's not relevant to the football team.
Right.
But, you know, I think one of the things that is sometimes misunderstood with Vic Fangio and the Bears is that even last year on the old contract, he was the second highest paid defensive coordinator in the league behind Wade Phillips. And my guess is that he is now the highest paid defensive coordinator in the league. So he can afford his own membership to Conway Farms. He was clearly kidding about that. I think it's more a question of putting down roots. My understanding is that his girlfriend / significant other is from the West Coast, may still have a home out there. I know that getting out there was a potential attraction to him. He was very honest in saying, I had other opportunities. As near as we can tell, there were three other teams competing for him to be their defensive coordinator. One other team that considered interviewing for the head coaching job, but passed. So, you know, you got seven staffs being put together, four of them plus the Bears. So five of them wanted Vic Fangio. That is a huge win for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace that they were able to get this done. And I think what Fangio realized, he was never going to Green Bay in spite of the wishful thinking of Packer fans. They have probably similar or lesser talent on defense. The weather's going to be worse. The golf season's going to be shorter. There was no compelling reason to go there except for people thought Aaron Rodgers. And I think that's why he made the comment and the point about Mitch Trubisky. The other teams that wanted him simply didn't offer the defense already at the stage that he's got this Bears defense at. And clearly, you know, when he talks about staying here 5, 6, 7 years. Now, if he gets a head coaching job, he's gone next year. People have to realize that. But if that doesn't happen for him, I think he's telling us that he believes in what Ryan Pace is doing. He doesn't know Matt Nagy. He just met him. You know, they've been together for a week or two.
Right.
But when he talks about the possibility of being here for multiple years, he apparently has bought into what his general manager is selling him as far as the talent he's going to get him to work with.
That's pretty cool. Before we get to Chris Tabor, we would want to spend a minute on special teams too. They need love as well. We've made a lot of comparisons. So I believe I've seen them elsewhere. Bill Barnwell at ESPN mentioned it in a piece that I read of his, but I'm pretty positive it came after yours. And I'm relatively sure that the first parallel I saw drawn between this past season's Rams and next season's Bears was by none other than you. And, you know, we mentioned the Vic Fangio part and whether it's comparable to Wade Phillips or maybe even retaining John Fossil, who had the best special teams unit in the NFL last season. It was a young coach in Sean McVay showing his wisdom by getting that done. There's one of numerous comparisons here. But the one I'm curious about, and sticking with the Mitch Trubisky talk, the Professional Football Writers of America today, Hub, named Jared Goff the most improved player in the NFL. is that an award we now, if he's not going to be gunning for MVP, and I think that might be getting a little far out over our skis. Is that the type of seismic improvement that we're expecting to see in year two from Mitch Trubisky?
Well, you know, again, a couple things here. I think, unfortunately, we've gotten to a point in our business where we spend a little too much time talking about or worrying about who was first. I do know that we've been talking at Pro Football Weekly since basically the end of November about the Rams comparisons as we started to wonder who the Bears were going to hire as their next head coach because we knew this was coming. And so in that regard, we certainly were there with the leaders in the conversation. It just becomes more and more relevant all the time when you look at the changes that are being made by the Bears and what is left behind. I think the answer to your question, though, is that No, Mitch Trubisky's probably not going to be a candidate for that award because he wasn't nearly as bad as a rookie as Jared Goff was.
Sure.
You know, Goff didn't get the job until week 10. He had 7 starts and just looked awful in large part because Jeff Fisher and Rob Boris and Mike Groh made him look awful. Mitch Trubisky got 12 starts. That's almost twice as much work. Actually had some pretty good games. And while I think his coaching staff was every bit as bad offensively, they did in a few games at least put him in a position to do some more things. He is much more athletic than Jared Goff. So he is able to be really more competitive as a rookie than Goff was, arguably with similar talent to what Goff had to work with. So Goff, very deserving, no question about it. If I was starting my franchise tomorrow and I could have either one, I would take Trubisky. I'm just more impressed with what I've seen even after Goff's most improved season.
All right. And the parallels don't stop there, of course. You mentioned the John Fox to Jeff Fisher angle and sort of the outdated coaching staff that was now replaced. And even down to the needs, Jared Goff didn't have the help on the field he needed either, Hub, with wide receiver or offensive line, both among the NFL's worst in 2016. The Bears wide receivers certainly qualify. I think there's some nice potential for this offensive line to have a bounce back season, largely as it's currently comprised, although certainly they could still stand to upgrade, I think, on either edge. Charles Leno isn't going anywhere, though. We'll see what they do at right tackle. And the list goes on. Kyle Fuller, franchise tag recipient candidate. Trumaine Johnson got tagged 2 years in a row. So it's just kind of strange. Now, one thing the Bears will have going for them, of course, is a little bit more draft capital to work with. The Rams spent in free agency, but they had to really sort of, you know, peruse the bargain bins for the likes of Cooper Kupp and Josh Reynolds and some of those mid-round finds that look like they're going to be really good ones. So it's going to be fun to continue to kind of look at these some of these comparisons as we move forward. You know, maybe my favorite line of the day, Hub, came from Chris Tabor, the new special teams coordinator. He's back for his second stint in Chicago. And again, I wasn't there. I don't know if he was joking or not, but I don't think there was a line I enjoyed more than him being asked if he was kind of nervous or uneasy about joining a special teams unit that has all three specialists out of contract. Of course, meaning the long snapper and you know, the three kickers and the part of the kicking arrangement. They're all going to be free agents. They all need to be re-signed. And Tabor goes, well, I was with the Browns, and I might get the numbers wrong. I believe it was 4 head coaches and 5 general managers. He's like, I'm kind of used to turnover, so no, that doesn't make me nervous at all. But I really enjoyed that from him. And then he got into talking a little bit about Tariq Cohn and what gets him excited about trying to make Tariq Cohn, already a good player, a great player on special teams.
You know, I think that Tabor's going to be fine. He's a good coach. He learned from the best in the NFL and Dave Tobe.
Yep.
Different conversations for a different time. I still can't believe Dave Tobe hasn't gotten a head coaching interview this year.
Right.
Thought he'd be a favorite for a couple of jobs. But that's how good Chris Tabor's mentor has been. That got him the job in Cleveland. I would be very surprised if the Bears don't re-sign both kickers. Cairo Santos, the Bears picked him up at the right time. I think he's better than anything you're going to find coming out of college or out there on the market. At this point, we can acknowledge people talk about Mike Glennon being Ryan Pace's biggest mistake. Releasing Robbie Gould was Ryan Pace's biggest mistake. Cairo Santos is close to Robbie Gould. He's got a chance to be a similar kind of kicker and a very good kicker. And Patrick O'Donnell is not the best punter in the NFL, but he's got a huge leg. And depending on how Tabor coaches him, I don't know that they did enough work on his directional kicking with Jeff Rogers. I'm not sure what the plan was sometimes. I expect both those kickers to be back, and I think Tabor will be fine. To me, the thing that was interesting is everybody kept asking about Tariq Cohn. I think people are missing the boat there. Tariq Cohn hopefully is going to make himself so valuable to the Bears offense that he's not going to be on special teams much longer, or maybe you use him just for the occasional kickoff or punt return. But this is a much different football player than Devin Hester. There will never be another Devin Hester. He's the greatest returner in the history of the game. Nobody's going to get close. But Devin Hester was never going to be a wide receiver or a running back, although I argued for the 6 or 7 years that he was here why they didn't try him as a third down back. It never made any sense to me that that was the best way to use use them. I think that Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich are going to figure out the best ways to use Tariq Cohn. And if he becomes the factor in this offense that I expect him to be, my guess is that his special teams participation is going to become more and more limited.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And, you know, they've got another rookie returner with some background there in Eddie Jackson, but you could make the exact same argument. They hope he's their next Mike Brown, the playmaker on the back end, and they may not want to risk him either. But maybe even if they just choose their spots with Cohen, they'll get at least, you know, another year out of him in that role. We'll just have to wait and see. Hub, just a couple minutes left. He's Hub Arkush. I'm Arthur Arkush. It's the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. We'll spend about another 5 minutes here or so. And I thought maybe we'd just kind of start to spin things forward. Eric at home, my colleague, and I will be down in the in Mobile for the Senior Bowl next week. And we've got some good primers at ProFootballWeekly.com on all the names to watch and the biggest storylines. We'll have them all covered next week, so make sure you stay with us. But just very generally, Hub, as we kind of kick off draft season, and I know we're not really yet because we got free agency too to worry about, but where are you looking? What are you thinking now that we have a semblance of coaching staff and philosophies are starting to crystallize? Have your opinions changed at all about what this team needs to accomplish to you know, have a chance to make that quick turnaround that we're thinking is possible?
Well, right now, their two biggest needs are at left tackle and for a pass rusher. But that's with uncertainty about what they're going to do about the two cornerbacks. They don't have a lot of difficult free agent decisions to make, but the three free agent decisions that I think could prove critical to the football team are, of course, Kyle Fuller, then Prince Amukamara, and Christian Jones. I think it would be a huge mistake not to bring all three of them back. None of them are going to be cap busters. Kyle Fuller is going to get some serious money, but this is a team that almost certainly is going to release Mike Glennon and Pernell McPhee and Jarrell Freeman, or at least certainly should, because those releases would free up about $23 million in cap space. They've already got almost $50 million in cap space. The cap is supposed to go up about $8 to $10 million. So they should have about $80 million in cap space. That is more than enough money to keep those three players and still make one or two big splashes and still have cap space remaining. One thing the Bears have done an excellent job under all the regimes, actually. The only thing I can give credit to Phil Emery for, and I certainly give credit to I can't, because they screwed up on the Cutler contract so bad. But other than the Emery regime, certainly under Cliff Stein and Lovie Smith, and now under Ryan and his cap people, they've done a really nice job of managing the cap. And so, to me, the question or the issue is, and you got to draft the best football player available, or you're always going to get in trouble. So the issue is, do you hope that the best player available is a left tackle or a pass rusher? Or if you don't sign one of the two, or if you don't sign them both, Amukamara or Fuller, suddenly cornerback becomes a need equal to pass rusher and left tackle. And then you move beyond that. They definitely need another safety to pair with Eddie Jackson. I never liked the Quinton Demp signing. I realize he broke his arm, and that's too bad. I feel bad for him. But now he's coming back. I believe he'll turn 34. And so you've got to address that position as well. And I've been looking at this, and it's so early. I mean, we got to get to the Senior Bowl. We got to get to the combine. We got to get to pro days. But minimally, until you get to the combine, it's really hard to stack these guys on the board. But with where they're at right now, and the reality that quarterbacks are going to get overdrafted, the irony of this, Arthur, is that the only quarterback that may be worthy of a typical top 10 pick, nobody's talking about, and that's Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. These other guys, Josh Allen doesn't even belong in the first round. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, maybe you could justify taking them between 12 and 25, but based on their careers, anything higher is a huge gamble. Lamar Jackson's the best of the bunch, but size and athleticism is going to be an issue. So depending on what happens in front of the Bears with all those quarterback needy teams, I think there's a good chance that the best player on the board is going to be a safety, either Minka Fitzpatrick or Derwin James. And so, way, way early as I look at this thing unfolding, those are two special players. And so I wouldn't be unhappy if one of them ended up a Bear, but so much is going to change between now and April 28th.
Yeah. How much, Hub, and we're almost wrapping up here, but how much pride does Ryan Pace have to swallow? How much humility does he have to show to agree with you that left tackle is either need one or 1A, 1B, less than 12 months removed from the Charles Leno contract?
No, I don't think pride has anything to do with it. And I don't think that that's such a horrible thing because Leno, you know, yes, they gave him the contract, but I wrote about this right after it happened. That contract, which everybody said, wow, look at the money they're giving him, it made him the 18th highest paid tackle in football. And normally, when you've got a youngster getting extended early with a free agent deal, they immediately pop into the top five, you know, much like Ricky Wagner did when he got his deal with the Lions. Silly money paid to Mike Remmers with the Vikings, although that's working out pretty well. Andrew Whitworth at the age of 36 got as much money almost as Leno did. So I didn't like it when they did it, but again, I think they've managed their cap well. They already ate some of that cap this year. You could certainly keep him around for a year if you drafted a tackle. Maybe he becomes your swing tackle. I don't know that he is strong enough to play right tackle. I don't think Bobby Massey is that bad. I know people talk about both tackles. Massey had a really difficult first half of the season last year, was better the second half of the season, wasn't bad this year. As you know, I do 2 hours of postgame after every game on the Score with Olin Krutz and a right tackle named James Big Cat Williams, who may have been the last Bears right tackle in the Pro Bowl. And we talked about this during the season, and they agreed with me. They don't think Massey's a problem out there. I mean, he's never going to the Pro Bowl, but he's not that bad. And so I think that they obviously have a different evaluation of Charles Leno than I do, or they wouldn't have given him that deal. But again, that was a season ago. You know, he struggled this year. And so I don't think pride is going to be an issue for Ryan Pace. If Orlando Brown is sitting there and he's the best player on your board at number eight, they're going to take him.
Wow. Okay. We're wrapping up. I would just add two more things to that. We didn't hit on wide receivers, so that's the position I'm going to be watching closest in Mobile next week. Make sure you're following me on Twitter and checking us out at ProFootballWeekly.com and ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears. We'll have another podcast, hopefully a Bears podcast from Mobile, definitely a PFW podcast. But I'll tell you, listeners, there's going to be some very intriguing mid-round wide receivers, and I personally think that's going to be the sweet spot where Pace should look to attack, because at number eight, I don't believe that Calvin Ridley is worth that pick, and I just think it's too risky. If you look at the past handful of years in the miss rates when you're drafting wide receivers that high, if they're not a sure thing, but there's going to be some guys in Mobile. I'm excited to see the Oklahoma State pair is really intriguing. Marcel Aitman and James Washington, New Mexico State's Jaleel Scott, a huge kid who's really intriguing. Unfortunately, the one wide receiver I really wanted to watch, Memphis's Anthony Miller, has dropped out, but there's going to be some guys. I know the Bears are going to be keeping close tabs on them, of course. And let's just close with this. We didn't mention Harry Hiestand, and we didn't obviously mention Quentin Nelson or Mike McGlinchey, but I don't think we can ignore the fact that they've got built-in evaluations, the best that you can have on those two first-round offensive line prospects, the moment that Hiestand walked in the building up.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a benefit. I will tell you, we do the Ask Hub thing every week. We've got to actually go to ProFootballWeekly.com. You can sign up for it. It's a private newsletter that we do. I mean, it's only private because it only goes to people who sign up for it. It's not that special. But any questions you want us or me to take a whack at answering, I guess we've developed a fairly good following for it. And we do four or five questions a week. And this week, our buddy John Sally told me that he couldn't accredit the question to anybody because we got the same question in 11 different forms from 11 different people. Will the Bears draft a wide receiver at number eight? The answer is absolutely not. Yes. It's just not going to happen. As you know better than most, Arthur, I don't bet. I've always hated the losing a lot more than I enjoy the winning. But if I wasn't going to make a bet and I was going to bet my life, I wouldn't bet my life on anything. but if I was going to make a big bet, the Bears are not drafting a wide receiver at eight. And again, you talk about the formula that worked. You know, the Rams, they gave up a second round pick for Sammy Watkins. They signed Robert Woods as a free agent. And then Cooper Kupp was what, the third round?
Third rounder, that's right.
Yeah, third rounder. And so, I mean, you know, people, it's overused by now, but Antonio Brown was a sixth rounder. I mean, yeah, that's unusual. You know, it's kind of the Tom Brady story again. But you can find wide receivers anywhere in the draft. I think that they will look at free agency. They will look at trades. They will look at the draft. The Colts are going to try and deal T.Y. Hilton. I wouldn't be that anxious to do that because of the contract that comes with him. He's just undersized and gets banged up. But they're going to have a lot of different avenues to pursue wide receivers. They will not be using the eighth pick in the draft in one.
Yeah, and the list goes on, Hub. Even just staying in the division, Stephon Diggs, a fifth rounder. Adam Thielen, undrafted. Devontae Adams, round two. Detroit's number one wide receiver, Marvin Jones, was originally a third rounder, I believe. So I don't want to say it's becoming the new running back position where you can find him anywhere, because I think you can plug in running backs earlier more often than not, and the skill guys take a little bit longer. But yeah, I think they're going to do just fine by waiting and taking the best available player and then trying to kind of restock Trubisky's cupboard after that. So that's going to do it for today's Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. We are thrilled that you are with us as always. One more reminder to check us out on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review while you are there. For Hub, I am Arthur. Stay with us at profootballweekly.com/Bears. We'll be back with you next week with a new podcast from Mobile and the Senior Bowl.